Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazenia. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now. Please join Father Cedric's message already in progress.
I remember one time I was in Kroger's, and I don't know if y'all have Kroger's here, or is it Safeway? I guess you have. Same thing. It's our version of Safeway in Houston. And it was just a couple months ago that this happened, and it's a completely true story. I was just simply going there to get breakfast, you know, breakfast food. I love bananas and Wheaties and orange juice, you know, the fresh squeezed. And so, you know, I've got these things in my arms, and I'm walking out towards the checkout counter. And the checkout counters were all full, but they have these self-checkout counters, if you've ever seen these, where you scan your own. And there are four of them, you know, and usually they're wide open, but this particular time they were full. And I was walking with my stuff, and as I'm walking up, I was going to one that just opened, and I look just out of the corner of my eye, I noticed that there were two men standing, actually a teenager and an older man. And I said, whoops, you know, obviously they were waiting for the first one to open up. So I backed up and I stood next to them. Because, you know, there's no formal line at these things. It's anything goes kind of a thing. But, you know, you could see that they were standing there in line. It was obvious. So I stood there. And we're just waiting for the first one of the four to open up. And as we're waiting, all of a sudden one started to open up, the fourth one, you know, the furthest one away from us. And we're all standing there. And, of course, the older man was going to go first. And right as it opened up, this woman with a full shopping cart full of stuff goes trekking right across from us, right in front of us, goes right, and her husband with her, and goes right to the open place. And we all look at each other and go, do you believe this? You know? And I sense, now here's how the Holy Spirit speaks. I sense the Holy Spirit say to me, Cedric, just let it go. You're laughing because you know something's coming. And, you know, it's just going to be a minute or two, but, you know, I don't always listen to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. So as I was standing there, I looked at the older man and I looked at the teenager, and they were both resigned to the fact that this woman did this, and they weren't going to say a thing. And it's like, excuse me. It's just what I did. Because I couldn't let it go. I go, excuse me, you know, a couple times. And then finally she turns around. She goes, what? I go, we were waiting for that? She goes, no, you weren't. You were waiting for that one. This one was open. I go, no, that's not how it works. There's a line here. Can't you see that the first one that opened? She goes, no, we went to this one. You're waiting for that one. You know, most people would have said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize that, you know, there was a line. And, you know, not this woman. So now I'm starting to shake a little bit. You know, the adrenaline's kicking in. And I'm standing there with my... Have you ever seen the Exorcist movie? Her head, without her body moving, turns around, and this is what she said. I hope you choke on your banana. And you know what I heard? I told you not to say anything. It's like, thanks, now I'm dead. And I mean, she was spitting and popping and, you know, just grumbling. And I'm going, what is going on here? Her husband was there with her. And, you know, I'm standing there now. I'm really shaking and upset. And, of course, the Holy Spirit, all he said was, I told you. And so I'm standing there, and her husband starts to make a move toward me now with his hand like this. And now I'm thinking, Houston Chronicle. Priest gets beat up over bananas, you know, and... I go, oh, great, this is going to be in the headlines now. He comes over to me, and, you know, I sized him up. He really wasn't all that tall. I said, well, maybe I can take him, you know. So he comes over to me, and his hand was extended. He goes, look, I'm sorry. And the first thing that came out of my mouth was, thank you for being man enough to admit it. And inside I'm thinking, I don't know what deep, dark secret you did in your past to deserve her, but it must have been wicked. It must have been awful. But anyway, he was man enough to come over. She was still standing there, rah, 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 you know, doing all this stuff, and the head's going around, and you know. So I'm still shaking, you know, wondering if this guy was coming to beat me up, what she's going to do. You know, by now these people are gone. They're not standing up for nobody. I'm there all by myself, and isn't that the way it always is? Because I felt like, you know, I was kind of standing up for them, you know? It's like, they're gone now. Finally, a thing opens up, and I was so, my adrenaline had flowed so much, I dropped my bananas. I mean, down they went. I go, oh, no, I hope she didn't see this, you know? And I pick them up. Now I'm starting to scan my stuff, bruised bananas and all. And I go, okay, now I got to walk past her, because that's the way out. I go, what am I going to do? And I'm thinking, you know, I want to say something to her. You know, after what she did to me, you know, and I hear the Holy Spirit, Cedric, just take your bananas and get out. And so I did. You know, I checked it out, scanned it, out I went right by her, didn't even look at her. She didn't even say anything to me. I went outside. I go, Holy Spirit, how is that? Pray for her. Lord, bless her. Pray for her. Lord, I pray that that woman will come to a major change in her life, that you will work in her in a beautiful way. So anyway, I get in the car, and I'm still shaking. And, you know, it's a lesson for me that maybe I should have just kept my mouth shut, you know. In a way, I won the battle because I said something. Her husband apologized. She didn't. But in another way, I'm like, you know, trying to drive my car. And then I thought to myself, you know, there's no justice in the world. You know, if there were justice, she would have backed off and shut up and let me do my thing. No justice. Then this image pops into my mind. What if there were justice? I'm in the confessional. Door slides open. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. I told a man in Kroger's to choke on his banana. Yes! There is a God. So anyway, what I want to tell you is that the Holy Spirit really does come to help us to avoid situations, not to avoid the situations, but not to put ourselves into situations that can harm us, to make good decisions, good choices, forgive people, you know, go on with your life. And that was an absolutely true story. And you know what? It took me a while to let her go. In fact, I still haven't let her go. I'm still preaching her about it. But, you know, because some things aren't worth it. You know, you know how road rage occurs? You know, you start doing that domino effect stuff, and you're going to end up getting killed by these people. And if you're led by the Holy Spirit, you let it go. And that's really important. And you will hear the Spirit. The Spirit will speak. I consider it kind of like reins on a horse that pulls you and says, whoa. You know, we all heard in the news a couple weeks ago, I think it was, that this crazy man burst into an Amish schoolhouse, and he shot these little girls. Five of them, I believe, were killed. Then he shot himself dead. And I've been reading stories about it after, and it's amazing. For example, the grandfather of those girls, one of the girls, said that we can't hate this man. We must forgive him. And how filled with the Holy Spirit must he be to make a statement like that, to be led by the Spirit? You see, when you're led by your own, what the Bible calls the flesh, you're angry, you're bitter, you're hateful, and the world is awful. But when you're led by the Holy Spirit, you can turn the other cheek, you can go forward, you can be like Jesus, and you can forgive. And then, of course, I read an article about the funeral of this man that shot these little girls. And it said that dozens, not a few, not one, dozens of Amish people came to his funeral. And to me, that's a witness to the whole world. Who are these people? I went to the internet. You know, I had heard a little bit about them. But I went to the internet because I wanted to find out more about these people. It's like, maybe I'll leave the church and join the Amish community. I don't know. But these people are Christ-like people. At least some of them are. You know, what type of a person would ever go to that funeral? Wow. You know, to me, that's a great witness. By the way, if you have a cell phone, please turn it off. I hope you choke on your cell phone. No, just kidding. So anyway, turn the other cheek, Cedric. I'm just kidding. I didn't mean to embarrass you. Please don't let that affect the collection. So, you know, there was a couple years out, there was a movie. There was a couple years ago, maybe about 10 years ago, there was a movie called Witness, and it was about the Amish community. And Harrison Ford was in the movie. Harrison Ford was a fugitive running away from the law, and he took refuge in the Amish community. Of course, the Amish, you know, are very peaceful, loving people, very nonviolent. They shy away from technology like cell phones and, you know, cars and things like that. Now I know why. And so he joined their community to try to hide from the law. Well, there was one scene in the movie, maybe you saw it, that was amazingly powerful for me. And there were four men in a horse-driven carriage, two horses in the carriage and the four of them, two Amish guys with a beard in the front, Harrison Ford in the back with another man, and these teenage kids from Pennsylvania somewhere, maybe they were like 18, 19, full carload of kids, you know, they drive up in front of the horses and stop the horses. And they knew that these people weren't going to retaliate. So they get out of the car with ice cream cones. And they went up to the driver of the horse and the buggy, and he just sat there. They took this ice cream cone and they shoved it right in his face. And you could see all the ice cream just dripping. The man didn't move. He didn't retaliate, nothing. And all the kids are laughing at him. Then they went to the passenger, and they went over there, and another kid took an ice cream cone right in his face. Same thing, didn't move. And then they're thinking, you know, because Harrison Ford is all dressed up like an Amish guy. You know, Harrison Ford was Indiana Jones, by the way, if you don't know. He's a swashbuckling, you know, fighter and all that type of stuff. So they go to the back of the thing now, and there's Harrison Ford, and they're just about to shove that ice cream cone in his face, and he grabs his hand, pulls his other hand back, and boom, right in the kisser. Everybody in the movie theater, everybody's clapping, and I'm there like, wait a minute. Am I supposed to clap for this or what? And then I realized that, you know what, see, the culture kind of aggrandizes violence like that in retaliation and striking back, where the spirit, being led by the Spirit, you turn the other cheek. And I know that's hard, but that's Jesus. And who is it to be a man? Or how is it to be a true man of God? Is it to fight back? Or is it to turn the other cheek? And I've often thought about that. Or a woman of God. You know, of course, there's certain, you know, I don't want to just make a blanket statement where, you know, if you're being abused or something, of course you got to stick up for yourself or you got to run from it or something. You don't just stand there. But the bottom line is, folks, I think the Spirit is the type that leads and guides us out of violence, out of our own harm, out of anger, out of hatred, out of bitterness. And most people are led by their own head, their own thoughts, their own upbringing, instead of being led by God. And that's what I'm talking about. Because the Spirit of God does want to lead us and guide us into the fullness of life. And the Spirit is the Spirit of discipline. The Spirit is the Spirit of discipline in terms of all kinds of different things. For example, say you tonight, you know, there's a lot of people here, you're out in the parking lot, you know, and we used to call it the raceway. You know, everybody, after church, everybody gets in that car. They're all, peace be with you, you know, and they get in the car and it's like they're different. And tonight, you know, everybody's filled with the Holy Spirit and being touched by the grace of God and led by the Holy Spirit, and then people get out there. If somebody cuts you off tonight, don't give them one of these, give them one of these. You know, pray for them, bless them. See, when I get cut off, immediately I feel like this, the glory comes over me. See, that's the touch of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is glorious. That's why I call the book on the Holy Spirit, Glorious Holy Spirit. Because the Spirit is glorious, and the Spirit tries to help you to control yourself. One of the fruits of the Holy Spirit is self-control, and that's really important. When you're led and guided and controlled by the Holy Spirit, you have self-control. And that's not only in terms of situations and circumstances that occur, such as car driving or people, you know, in Kroger's or whatever it is, but it also has to do with what you eat and how you eat and how much you eat, moderation, temperance. And then, of course, it also has to do with exercise. Boy, everybody's getting quiet now. And being healthy. You know, you live with control. You live with self-control. You just don't let yourself go. It has to do with what you watch on TV. It has to do with the way you live your life in relationships. There's all kinds of different areas. And really, the word discipline, the word disciple, comes from the word discipline. And I was also thinking about gossip. You know, when you're at work and people are gossiping with others, like you feel that feeling within. You know you shouldn't do it, but boom, you dive in, just like into a pool. And then later you feel guilty and you're beating yourself up. You say, how can I do it? Why did I do it? And the Holy Spirit, in fact, it says, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And before it said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit in the Bible, it talked about talking and slander and gossip and bitterness. So you can grieve the Spirit of God within you. The Spirit is a person. It's the person of God, and the Spirit is trying to make you into a person, the person of Christ. So, you know, are you being led by the Holy Spirit, or are you being led by your own whims and by your own head? And really, we're called to be led by the Holy Spirit. I love what Paul said. He said, you know, don't be controlled by the appetites of the flesh. Be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Then he told a young Timothy, God has not given us a spirit of cowardice. He's given us a spirit of power and love and self-control. See, you don't just yield to fear, and you don't yield to your appetites, and you don't yield to your whims, and you don't yield to circumstances. That's why Jesus was so beautiful. He never misspoke. He walked with perfect temperance and self-control. Even on the cross when they were torturing him, he forgave them because he was the man perfectly yielded and controlled by the Spirit of God. Wow! So, as I said, you have the Holy Spirit, but does the Holy Spirit have you? And it's a process of yielding and allowing the Spirit to work in your life. And in addition to that, I've found in my own life that, you know what, the Spirit stretches us to be the best we can be. In our relationships, in our circumstances, as we journey through life, the Spirit is trying to help us to grow to be like Christ. And that's something we have to understand. We don't try with our own efforts. We yield to the Holy Spirit. We surrender to the Holy Spirit, and the Spirit stretches us. And believe me, when you want to gossip, you're being stretched. When everybody in the office is gossiping and you're trying not to, you're being stretched. When there's food in front of you that looks really good and you know you've already eaten enough, and there's that big, huge dessert with ice cream and, you know, whipped cream and cherries on top, and you say, I'm not going to do it because it's going to break my you're being stretched. You know, there's all kinds of different ways. I was being stretched by that woman, and I'll tell you, if that ever happens again... Go ahead, fine. Hey, anybody else want to go? Well, the Holy Spirit calls us to be the best we can be. And I have to tell you, you know, when the Holy Spirit touched me at age 19, I got this new desire that I never had before. And it was a desire, you know, I did okay in school, but when the Holy Spirit touched me, now remember what I'm talking about, the Holy Spirit's going to lead us and call us to be the best we can be. I got this new desire to achieve my potential. See, he calls us all to not live in a box, not live limited, itty-bitty lives, but he calls us to be everything that we can be. And I think that's awesome. You know, I began to think about my life, and as I started journeying toward priesthood, and then finally I was ordained a priest when I was, I don't know, 27 years old, whatever it was, the Lord led me to that, and I started thinking, you know, priesthood is an opportunity. Many people, I think, sometimes, you know, they fight their way to priesthood, they get formed, they go through all the school, they go through all the formation, they get to priesthood, and they say, I made it. That wasn't the way I thought. I said, you know what, priesthood is an opportunity. It's a beginning. And I think it's the same for marriage. You know, you don't find a married couple or a married partner, and then you say, okay, I made it, and then you let yourself go. No, you gotta, for their sake and for your sake, you gotta try to be the best you can be. And you gotta show them your best side. Sometimes, you know, familiarity breeds contempt. You know, and oh, we're so nice to everybody we don't know. Then to our husband or wife, it's like, ah, like the woman with the banana, you know, the head just going around. And why is that? Because they're the one that we ought to show our best face to. But anyway. You know, when it came to priesthood, I said, this is an opportunity, this is just the beginning, and I want to fulfill my potential. And you know what I thought about regret? And I said to myself, and I think this is the Holy Spirit leading me, I said to myself, you know what, I don't want to get to be 85 years old and saying, I wish I didn't just keep preaching the same sermon over and over again. People love that sermon, but I wish I created and I branched out. And I remember, God has not given us a spirit of cowardice or fear, but a spirit of power and love and self-control. It's kind of like, you know what's coming up in me right now? Remember Luke Skywalker and the Force was with him? And I mean, he could fight Darth Vader and he was the best Jedi Knight out there because he had this power within him. Now, the Spirit of God is more than a power. The Spirit of God is a person. And I think you got a sense of who that person is. Nonviolent, in control, graced, dignified. And that's what we're being called to. So I sensed the Spirit of God calling me to be the best I could be, and I didn't want to look back on my life and say, you know what, I don't want to just live in this little itty-bitty box. You know, I want the Spirit of God to move me and help me to keep progressing, to keep my potential growing. And then I said, you know what, I don't want to look back on my life and say, I wish I wrote a book. And I got to work, and I've been writing books. I'm on book number 11 now. And I didn't want to look back and say, I wish I didn't help more people. And I'm trying the best I can to reach outside the walls of the church by producing programs. And it's not easy. I mean, it's hard. You don't know what's been coming against me in the last couple years. But you know what? God has not given us a spirit of cowardice, but of power and love and self-control. And the Spirit, the one who lives in us, is greater than the one who lives in the world. And I've decided that, you know what, it may hurt and it's going to be hard and there's going to be challenges and I'm going to be stretched, but I'm going forward in my life. And I'm going to live the potential that God has put in me. And I want to see all that I can be. And I believe it's the same for any vocation. You know, I have a saying, well, not just a saying, I heard this saying and I really love it. You know, who you are is God's gift to you, but who you become is your gift to God. I think that's so beautiful. And are you becoming? You see, the Spirit leads you to become somebody very beautiful. And my Bible says that all things are possible with God. And you can't just keep putting limits on yourself, because all things are possible with God. And you know, I think people ought to be reaching out of their box and stretching out of their limitations and reaching out of the little itty-bitty life that sometimes you put around yourself or you allow other people to put around yourself. You know, at the beginning of the retreat, I talked about how God was stretching out to Adam and Adam was reaching out to God. And that's creation. I think it's also new creation. God reaching out to us, and we have to stretch. We have to reach. We have to, you know what I like to say? Reach for the stars, and at least you'll get the moon. And that's in everybody's life. Don't let your dreams die. You know, the Pentecost vision is young people will dream dreams, and old men will see visions. And I always say that you're never too old to dream a dream, and you're never too young to see a vision. And don't let that die. And I remember, speaking of reaching, and that's how I see my life right now. I'm trying to reach. I'm trying to be, you know, I'm trying to be all that I can be. And I know that that's, see, that's the Spirit. The other side of me says, I don't want to do nothing. Like, I'm scared stiff. I don't believe I'm up here right now preaching, doing this in front of all these people. I just want to eat donuts and drink, you know, soda pop and watch the ball game. You know, it's like, I don't want to achieve anything. And a lot of people live in life that way. But the Spirit of God is the Spirit of discipline and self-control. And as I said, you've got the Spirit, but does the Spirit have you? And you'll find your life changing by the Holy Spirit. You will grow. The Spirit won't let you get away with stuff. The Spirit will move you into new areas and new realms of creativity and production and going forward. And let me talk a little bit about passion. I'm a passionist, and our feast day, by the way, worldwide is tomorrow. St. Paul of the Cross, not St. John of the Cross, St. Paul of the Cross, was our founder in Italy in the 1700s, and he founded a community to proclaim the passion of Jesus, and I point to the cross. And worldwide, the feast day is tomorrow, but in the United States, it's Friday. We changed it because there's another saint tomorrow, St. Isaac Jogues. So we had it changed to the 20th of October. But anyway, when we think about the word passion, most of the time we think about suffering. If you saw the movie The Passion of the Christ, it was all about his suffering. That's one of the meanings for passion. Another meaning, of course, for passion is kind of the secular sense. You know, if you have passion, you have lust, you have sexual lust, you have passion, you know. I think they even named a soap opera Passions. Hope nobody knows about that. And then, of course, you know, the definition that I want to talk about that I really like for passion has to do with enthusiasm, zeal, fire, exuberance, energy. You know, and I think that we ought to be living our lives with passion. One of the words for the Holy Spirit in the Greek that Paul used is the energizer. Remember the energizer bunny rabbit? Things keeps on going. Well, it's like, I don't take vitamins, folks. It's the Spirit of God that gets in you and gives you that. Remember what Ezekiel said? He said, I tried to shut up, but it was like a fire in my bones, and I had to speak about it. And that's that love of God. That's that fire of God. That's that energy of God. It's the Spirit of God bringing out excellence, bringing out quality, bringing out dignity in the people of God. And you are a son and a daughter of God. You have dignity. You are great. And you are going to live forever. And this is kind of our childhood, and we need to grow up. So passion has to do with energy. And I think one of the hallmarks of my ministry is that I try to live a life with passion. And that means creativity. That means helping people live their lives to the full. That means not preaching in a boring way, working on my talks, trying to excite people about their God. And I think that's what attracts people to my ministry, from what I've heard. And, you know, I hate it when people are living passionless lives. You know, they just kind of resign themselves to mediocrity and to being lukewarm and lackadaisical. When God has touched us with magnificence, He's put His wondrous, glorious, eternal Holy Spirit in the depths of all of us and all the people that we can become. And I decided long ago I'm not going to live a half-baked, lukewarm, mediocre Christianity, that I'm going to live flat out the best I can. Now, I'm not perfectly there yet, but I'm trying, I'm stretching, I'm reaching.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God, and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live, live with passion.